Well, the mood seems to have shifted now to central banks being close to their peaks. The Bank of Canada did raise rates by 50 basis points, but there's an expectation that they won't do much more. The RBA might have two or three more 25 basis point hikes to go, but maybe that's it. And the Fed, well, if they push too far, will they create a deeper recession than they'd like to be held responsible for? And bond yields today fell as US wage growth numbers came in lower than expected. So whatever banks might be saying, do the markets believe them? It's Thursday, the 8th of December, 2022. It's the morning call from NAB. Good morning. Well, US stocks are mixed, although the direction is generally down. The Dow is flat on the day at close, but we've got a 0.2% fall in the S&P 500. The NASDAQ has lost another 0.5%. Energy stocks amongst the biggest losers because energy prices are well down this morning. Everything is down in Europe as well. In terms of the major share indices, a 0.5% fall in the Euro stocks 50, almost 0.6% down for the DAX. The FTSE 100 down 0.4%. And bond yields falling further in the United States, another 11 basis points off 10-year Treasury. Now at 3.42%. A month ago, they were edging towards 4.2%. So quite a drop. Smaller falls again in Europe this morning, just 2 basis points off 10-year bunds and 3 off 10-year gilt yields. Australian 10 years were down 4 basis points yesterday to 3.35%, down a few more basis points on futures this morning since then. And the US dollar down almost another 0.4% on the DXY index with a 0.4% rise in the euro, a 0.7% rise in the pound. The Aussie dollar is up 0.6% to 67.3 US cents. And oil, 2.6% off WTI, almost down to $72. And Brent down 2.5%, heading to 77. That's 30% down from its peak. It did get higher than that in 2018, when there wasn't a war, there wasn't a supply chain crisis, there wasn't a zero COVID policy in China. That gives some perspective, doesn't it? Now, always giving us perspective, of course, is NAB's Gavin Friend in London. So this morning, clearly, we've got this continued move down in shares in many parts of the world. That means investors obviously worried about a recession. But look at the bond yields getting back under 3.5% for 10 years in the United States. And now the biggest 2-10 inversion since the 80s as well, when Paul Volcker was chair of the Fed. And look what happened then. Yeah. So what message is this sending to the Fed? And are they listening?
Yeah. Morning, Phil. A day of two halves, really, I think. I mean, you know, let's start at the European Open, where we came into news of another raft of easing measures from China in terms of the COVID zero relaxations, 10 new measures that followed the 20 that we had last week. You know, things such as reducing mass testing frequencies, allowing mild cases to quarantine at home, lockdowns in high risk areas to be lifted within 5 days if no new cases, vaccination of the elderly accelerating, that kind of thing. I mean, all
and
of
the
that
power taken away from local officials as well to shut down city blocks.
Yeah, because I think there was some confusion about what do we do? Do we follow the new stuff? That was the message last week, or do we, you know, do we stick to it? And there was frustration, I think, amongst the public about what rules they should be following. And something
so we can fairly safely say zero COVID is over now, can't we?
I think. Well, it's certainly moving that way. Of course, I think one of the sort of concerns from this, I think this is the speed of this has taken some observers by surprise, and they're worried about, you know, a possible more rapid reopening leads to much larger infection rates. Personally, I would have thought that, you know, the experience of the rest of the world, what we've gone through, I think markets will probably get over that quite quickly. And, you know, but it was the case this morning that shares didn't really want to rise on this. They weren't really acknowledging this news or the promise of this news. I think we also need to remember that
for the last few months we've been looking, you know, share markets, any hint of any good news coming from China.
Yeah, but it's you know, again, I don't think they're dismissing the thing, because it is obviously clearly significant for China growth and supply chain easing in 2023. But I think, you know, there was also, we had some weaker Chinese trade numbers. So these were numbers for November, and we saw in dollar terms, exports down a larger than expected 8.7%. I mean, the forecast was for half of that. Imports down over 10% against a minus 7% forecast. Now, you know, you could just argue, well, we know all that. That's backward-looking numbers. And we know, and other news today is, there are suggestions that some Chinese officials are looking at growth enhancing measures, the idea of a 5% growth target for next year. They're not going to get anywhere near that this year, probably half that. So, you know, all in all, you would say that the net, the news coming out of China would be positive, but the market didn't really want to know that for the first half of the day during Europe. It actually took a softer set of US unit labor costs for Q3. They came in at 2.4%, well below the 3.1% forecast, and from 3.5% in Q2. And I think that was the trigger. Right. An hour or so before those numbers, before the unit labor costs came out, the dollar had started to turn lower. But it really was the unit labor costs that saw a drop in bond yields to the point you make. And we've had something like, you know, 8 or 9 basis points off of twos, 11 basis points or so out of 10-year bonds, government bonds. You know, which I don't think is surprising given, you know, the context of what we're going to get from the central banks in the next few days, where we think the economies are going.
So this isn't recession fears. This is a belief that maybe things are going to slow down if they're in a cold. Are we back to soft landing thinking?
This is an inflation measure. This is a wage measure. Markets welcome the idea that wage growth may be tempering. You know, obviously there are other wage measures we should be looking at, and you know, we saw one of those with an on-farm payrolls very recently. But this is a moderating piece of news after the 5% or so, the 0.6 on the month average early earnings we saw in the non-farm payroll report, and so that's why you've seen that kind of reaction. And it's pushed the dollar lower across the board as well. And that's where we're in. And that was the catalyst that turned, when you talk about shares being lower this morning, actually in the US, you know, that turned things around. They were negative, futures were negative, and that saw shares, you know, push slightly off those lows during the US session.
Not for long though. just getting back to China just for a second, I mean, if it is good news coming out of China, then that obviously is going to be particularly good news for Europe as well, particularly for Germany. And look, you know, the signs, we've been talking down Europe quite a lot, and yet, you know, it keeps on surprising, doesn't it? The signs for Europe aren't too bad at all, really.
No, despite all the you know, the terms of trade hit that Europe's been suffering. Actually, one of the surprise factors is that Europe seems to be coping with this in terms of there's not been a big hit to industrial production and manufacturing thus far. You know, we can see the PMIs are talking about a recession, but actually activity levels are quite good. To your point, though, it's a double-edged sword with China, because of course that's, you know, Europe's big marketplace, but a faster growing China means more competition for energy and for natural gas and those kinds of things, which is exactly what Europe doesn't want. It's not clear how that's going to play out. You know, that's something Europe's probably got enough to get through this winter. The last thing they want is more intense competition on the energy front for the winter of 23-24. So, you know,
and all of that depends obviously on getting an answer to this war in Ukraine, which just seems to be going from bad to worse, with Russia now saying that Ukraine has been striking air bases within Russia 300 miles beyond the Ukraine border, and obviously talking up how they're going to respond to all of that. But you know, the markets, that's a long way away.
Well, I think the point to make about that, I noticed a comment from Antony Blinken, US Secretary of State, very quick, really, in terms of not acknowledging any part in this. You know, the West is very clear. It does not want to be seen to be
supplying those weapons,
any
which
of these
are making
kinds
those
of things. You know, if it happened, it happened, and it wasn't anything to do with the US or the West. And that's the way it's going to be, because they're obviously being very careful with not wanting to be seen to be taking the fight to Russia within Russia's territory or Russia's own borders.
Yeah, we don't want to escalate.
And I think that's not going to change.
So the Bank of Canada, let's look at that. They went for a 50 basis point hike. It's up to 4.25% now. They're probably not going to go very much higher, are they? But maybe they will. I mean, they've still got a very tight labour market. There's 500,000 people more in work than before the pandemic. Inflation is only slightly lower than it is in the United States. Housing definitely now feeling the pinch. So, I mean, are they going to stop? Do we know what happens if they do stop?
Well, I would describe that as a dovish 50 basis points. I mean, you know, recall going into this meeting, the market economists were pretty evenly split on 25 or 50.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the end, they opted for 50 because inflation is high, as you say. But if you look at the accompanying statement, growing evidence that tighter monetary policy is restraining domestic demand, consumption moderated in Q3, housing market activity continuing to decline. The bank sees growth essentially stalling through year end and into the first half of next year. I mean, you know, and it notes things like the 3-month rate of change in core inflation as having come down. So you've got to say, you know, I'm guessing it was a pretty finely balanced call. And the takeaway from this is that they're all but done. You know, they're certainly now, I mean, the main message was it is considering the need for further hikes. That's, you know, vastly different from the commentary from the Bank of Canada at the prior meeting where further rate rises were needed. So we're getting into that period. And you know, we can talk about the RBA. There's a lot of discussion about whether they're going to pause or not. We're heading into the big week next week with the Fed, the ECB, and the Bank of England. And this idea of getting towards the peak, the terminal rate, we're not there yet, but
we are starting to
see the markets have. Yeah. Markets are playing to that side. And to your point earlier on about curve inversion and all these kinds of things, that's the path of least resistance in all of this. Yeah. And I think, you know, what we're going to see next week is anything that plays to that will get an outsized market reaction.
Yeah, because it is. The question is, if they do much more, are they going too far? And, you know, if we...
Hence the inversion. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The harder you go, the harder you...
Well, yeah, I mean, and look, you know, yeah. And how hard is the UK going to fall? I mean, almost everyone's on strike there over the next couple of weeks, aren't they? So, you know, I mean, there's an economy that's going to go through a very difficult winter. But let's look at Senior Climbs. Let's look at home on an Australia's GDP yesterday, 0.6% quarter on quarter, a little lower than anticipated and down from 0.9% growth in Q2. But, you know, it is growing. And of course it's growing because people are emerging from COVID lockdowns. And we know that Australia is not feeling this as bad as anybody else.
No, we don't. I mean, yeah. Okay. So it comes in a tenth below forecast. We have to remember annual growth at 5.9%. I mean, that's pretty much in line with what the RBA has been saying, if below the consensus. But look at growth on a growth levels basis. It's now 6.5% above pre-pandemic levels. It's about the same, yeah. Just to compare and contrast, it's about the same as New Zealand. The US on that measure is about 4.7%. The Eurozone about 1.6%. To your point, the UK and Japan still haven't got above their pre-pandemic growth levels.
Yeah, so Australia is doing better than just about anybody.
It is showing amazing resilience and bounce back ability. I mean, the detail of that showed us that, as we knew, household consumption was, you know, strong, a large contributor to growth at 1.1% on the quarter, aided by that services spending. There was a bigger drag from the real estate sector, but employee consumption was the other thing that stood out in this report. And my colleagues were looking at this in terms of wages up 3.2% on the quarter, or if you want to annualize that, sort of, you know, over 10%. And that, I think, you know, that was really via more compensation rather than, for instance, more employees and more hours worked. And I think it's the reason why, or one of the reasons why, you know, we and Ed think that, you know, it's too early for the RBA to pause. You know, markets are certainly still not pricing in what we've got, which is from the current cash rate of 3.1. We've got another two lots of 25 in February and March, taking us to 3.6%. And then the market's a little bit below that. They get there eventually, but they're not there as quickly as we have it.
Well, Brad Jones is talking today, isn't he, from the RBA? So, you know, maybe he will be signalling just that there will be further hikes, no pause. And if he does that, if he confirms what NAB's been saying, that might bolster the Aussie dollar a bit today, perhaps.
I'm not sure he's going to be as open as that, but you know.
But central bankers have a way, don't they, of saying stuff without actually saying it. You know, that's a skill. That's how they get the job. They go for a job interview, and at the end of the interview, they're not really quite sure what they've said. Then they've probably got the job. That's the way it works. Look, what have we got today? We've got Australia's balance of trade today, 12.4 billion for September. We get the October read for that this morning. We also get the weekly jobless claims for the US. What else? Not a lot, is there? The electric retail card spending for New Zealand tomorrow morning, just after the podcast. Christine Lagarde from the ECB is talking about addressing financial stability challenges some point overnight. I wonder if she's going to have any answers to that. But no mega events either to...
No, and she's going to be steering clear of anything on the monetary side, given, you know, that she ought to be in Perda very soon. She will be a week out, so she's not going to stray into that. But I think for next week, you know, the jury is pretty much... in that the discussion is going to be for the ECB between 50 and 75 basis points, and most people coming down on the idea of 50, which is our call as well.
Yeah, and will those jobless claims, will they move this very slow?
The trend does look like it's turning higher, but it, as you say, it's a slow move, isn't it? It's a slow grind.
All right, very good. We'll leave it there for now. Good to talk. Catch you again very soon, Gavin.
Thanks, Phil.
And that's it for this Thursday morning. That's the morning call from NAB. I'm Phil Dobby. I am back again tomorrow morning. Don't miss it. See you then.